All right, guys, we're back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
And I'm Triple C, Henry Cejudo. And
guys, we have a very, very special guest today. Someone that is one of the most interesting people to me in the world. I mean, the big sewer. I mean, Superman as I knew him growing up. The big Aristotle. I mean, Uncle Shaq. Now, as I like to call. Are you unk yet?
Yeah, I'm an unk. I don't like you too, but I love you too. Let me explain why.
A Shot of Lime production. All right, hold on, guys. Yes, give it up for Shaquille O'Neal.
Give it up for Uncle Shaq.
I love y'all, of course, but I don't like y'all. Back in my day, I used to smash all little motherfuckers. Just smash on them. Say anything and punch in your face. Now, because of what y'all do, got to be careful. Yeah, I was at a bar one day, and then the crazy thing, you could be able to look at like this guy right here, no offense, he's a good looking guy. I would like to assume he don't know what you guys know. But now you don't know. You don't know now. You don't know. I was at a bar one time, and this dude was fucking with this little dude, and I was saying, because I saw the ear. I trained a little bit, so I know the cauliflower ear. No, you may know something, you may not know something. Man, this little dude beat the shit out this big dude. And I said to myself, we can't even fuck with the little people no more. Nah. I hate it. Changed. So that's why I hate y'all. But thanks for having me.
But Shaq, nobody ever fuck with you on the court, man. You're always a...
Yeah, I got to hear. I want to hear. Eventually, we'll get it. I want to hear someone. I want to hear, because I know you was punking dudes in the locker room. I knew it. We see how Draymond Green acted now, but I'm like, this is the new era. Obviously now this is a social media age where there's cameras, there's things a little different. The game has changed. But back in the day when, you know, so, Pistons, all these dudes, yeah, how they was acting.
So I'm from Newark, New Jersey. Father was a drill sergeant.
Shout out Newark,
and New Jersey. I used to fight all the time. I was a medium level juvenile delinquent. The day I stopped being a bully, this kid one time, I had a spit wad and I threw it at the board. And previously, the teacher and the principal said, you get in trouble one more time, your ass is out of here. So I was a class clown. I threw it at the board. And like, I'm the type, like when everybody's laughing and you turn around, my dumb ass would be like this. So everybody's laughing and cracking up and the teacher's looking and I'm like, she already pinpointed me. But however, you don't have no direct evidence. So right now, yeah, it's all circumstantial. Motherfucker next to me did like this. So now I got to go to the office and, we're not going to suspend you. We're going to suspend you for 10 days. I already know when I go home, I'm getting fucked up. I already know. But before I get my ass whooping, at 3 o'clock, I'm whooping your ass. So I fucking find this dude and I'm hitting him. And I hit him and he starts swallowing his tongue. And he's doing this shit. He has an epilepsy. I don't know what epilepsy is at the time, but he has an epilepsy. Yeah, so a guy came, put the pencil in his mouth, and saved him. But then the guy tells him, man, you could have killed this kid. Now, if the guy didn't show up, wouldn't be no Shaq right now. I'd probably fucking still be in. After that day, I kind of chilled out. Now, it's like the Hulk. You have to get me angry for me to get there. So now it's like 95%, hey, man, how you doing? But like, I always like to do that. And then playing ball, all the pressure was on me. Yeah. You. So it got to the point to where if you don't do what I say, I'm fucking you up. Yeah. Like, I used to go on games and dudes used to shoot the ball. I used to come in the locker room and be like, shoot that motherfucker again, I don't touch it. I dare you. Anybody, I don't care, anybody, shoot it again, I don't touch you. And then I was always losing. And then my best friend in Orlando, he trained with Gracie, his name is John Burke. He teaches me this. And I didn't start winning until I started doing this. Because, like, I can run, right? I would train. I was actually training the wrong way. Because doing this all day, I never get tired. But when I start doing the wrestling, that's when I would get tired. That's when people say, he's out of fucking shape. Like, no, I didn't train to wrestle. So then I said, you know what? I'm not going to even do no basketball shit. All summer just doing that, grappling, leg lock, knee lock, and, you know, 4, 5, 6 people a day. And then I came in and easily won through the championship. And then I'm a creature of habit. So the second year, same thing. Third year, same thing. Then just training. I'm talking about every day.
So this is when you transfer from LA to Miami. This, yes, is when you showed, because you showed, yes, up in shape when you transferred to Miami. That was a different Shaq.
Because that's all I did. That's all I did was what you guys do.
Wrestling, grappling, yeah. Jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai.
Hold on. This is the first time I'm telling this story. Let me introduce how I got to your sport. We're training camp in Hawaii, and I'm walking down the street, and a motherfucker grabs me. And he's strong as fuck. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, it's about to go down. And we fucking turn around, and we square up. And Vitor Belfort goes like this. No, man. I'm a fan of you. I think this was UFC 1. Yeah. Seriously. No, real talk. The motherfucker just grabbed me. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to square up. And he's like, no. I'm just a fan of yours. I just. And he gave me tickets to his fight. And he beat some dude that had on some overalls. See if you can find that footage.
No, you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking to, I'm really close friend with Vitor Belfort, and he actually sent me a picture of you guys, Shaq, from back in the day. So
was that it?
You seen it? Yeah. Watch. Well, it's funny. I'm gonna show the producer. You can't see your face because that's how tall you are.
That's tonight. This tonight. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And then this is.
Yeah, that's him. The motherfucker grabbed me in the middle of the street.
Look how tall Shaq.
You can't even see it,
but then there's Vitor.
Yeah, the motherfucker grabbed me. So, in my mind, I'm about to fuck him up because he's little. Yeah. He's like, but he was nice. He's like, no. My friend, no. I fight in the UFC. And I'm like, what? No, we have a fight today. What? Motherfucker, what time? So, we in Hawaii, ain't shit to do.
Yeah.
He beat some 7-foot dude in some overalls. And I had never seen a sport like that. And I've been a fan since.
So, was that the first fight that you've ever attended? Fight.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ironic too, Shaq, because Vitor Belfort, he has that American dream story. I mean, he was telling me actually how you and Kobe would sit there and actually watch him fight. This was in Beverly Hills, man. He said he used to go to these parties, backyard stuff, and everybody was just Kobe, Shaq, legends. We used to watch him fight.
He knocked somebody out in the bar for me one time.
For you?
Yeah.
God,
dude was talking
crazy. He's changed.
A dude was talking crazy, and Vitor just came out of nowhere. Bing, bing. And I'm looking at the dude on the phone, like, Vitor, go. No, man, I said, motherfucker, get out of here. He knocks him. Go. I got it. Then the cops come.
I mean, it's, you know, obviously, our sport has changed. And like you mentioned, you don't know who's who anymore. You know, it could be the skinniest guy with glasses. You know, he wrap his arms around your neck. He can put you out at any time. One thing I just wanted to touch on is you have such an amazing career. But me in my position right now is I'm starting to look outside of just fighting. Because like I mentioned, I'm getting to a certain point where it's not all just about fighting anymore. Henry and I understand that. You know, we have families. We have, you know, we're trying to figure out what that next interest is going to be. Outside of just being a professional fighter, because you can't do this forever. And we know with you, you are one of the only athletes that has been able to touch anything. It seemed like you can do anything. You've done anything at the highest level. One thing that I'm particularly interested in is your film career. You know, while you were playing, you were not only dropping albums and doing music, but you were also doing film. And there's a misconception to where, oh, Shaq left Orlando for Hollywood. But a lot of people don't know that you did a movie while you were in Hollywood. And and on top of that, one thing that I always admire is your ability to always put your boys on, to put people on. And of course, one of my favorite movies is Blue Chip that you did while you were in Orlando. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit and that transition from being a player to actually Hollywood?
It has a lot to do with luck. See, I hate those people that have made it and then they sit and give you those bullshit stories. Mine's all luck. But you have to protect the luck. So for us, as long as we win and perform, the opportunities come. So I'm sitting there one day with my agent and the guy says, "You want to put you in a movie?" I'm not going to say no. I'll say, yeah. I don't know how to act. I don't know nothing. So luckily, the first movie was Blue Chips. I had to be a basketball player. And then I kind of said to myself, how do I want to see myself on the screen? I'm not going to try to be like Denzel, but just if I was a basketball player, wait, I am a basketball player, so I know what to do. And then it just kept coming. And it was my job to take advantage of all opportunities. Like when I got drafted, I didn't say, I'm going to do an album. I'm going to do a movie. It was just opportunity. I did the Arsenio Hall show, and, you know, I like to be different. Yeah. I didn't want to just fucking put on a suit and just come like everybody else. So I called Arsenio. I said, hey, man, can I do something with my favorite rap group? who was Fu Schnickens at the time, and this was the performance here. So after that performance, that's for you, editor. Yeah, you like it.
Bro.
Yeah, yeah, you like how I just, you like how I just laid it up for you. So after I did the performance, my agent said, "Man, you're not gonna believe this." I said, "What?" He said, "Jai, I want to give you a record deal." I was like, "I'll listen to him." He said, "Man, we want to give you $10 million for 3 albums." I was like, but then I got scared. I was like, "Fuck, I can't do 3 albums by myself." So then I said, "Call another meeting." So in the second meeting, I said, "I would do it, because now I'm going back to the kid in me. Let me do it with all my favorite rappers," and they agreed, and that's how the album deal came. But again, if they wouldn't have said, if they would have said $500, I'd be like, no, but they said $10 million, my boy.
Yeah, and that was back then.
Yes, said $10 million. For, and then they said, you own piece of your own label. We'll teach you the business. So that's how that. And then when it comes to all these other opportunities, I've learned how to take things that are difficult and break them down to where it makes sense for us. Like you went to my restaurant, right?
Yeah.
I don't run the restaurant. That's why I partner with somebody that's in that business. And let them do it. Like, for example, if I'm going to do a fight podcast, going to be us three. I don't know shit about the fight game. I know how to talk to people and do that, but y'all going to make me look good. We're going to get these camera screws. It's like, you take what's hard. Like, I want to do a fight podcast. And then you break it down to the simplest form. So all the stuff that I own, I break it down to the simplest form. I'm the master of joint ventureships. Oh, yeah. I got my own shoe deal. But you think I'm going to the factories and looking at fabrics and doing that? I'm not. But somebody is. And then you just have to be smart enough to be able to understand what they're doing so you don't get messed over.
Yeah, I think you talk about a little bit of luck, Shaquille, but you also, dude, first of all, I saw your documentary on HBO. Man, that shit, I watched that twice in a row. I benched on the whole thing on my flight over here. I mean, it's just crazy, but I feel like you talk about luck, but I also see the disciplinary side that your father brought to you, the, you know, Sergeant Harrison, and obviously, you know, the also the kind side and the love side of your mom. But I almost feel like you're able to kind of catch the best of both worlds. Obviously, being born in you know, in the projects in New Jersey, and then being a military brat, and then going to different places. Every 4 years, you had to somewhat move. I mean, you went through a lot, but throughout that, you almost kind of started finding your identity. You almost started finding, hey, Shaquille, you know what? I'm big. I'm funny. I have dreams of someday being an actor. I have dreams of someday being a rapper. I have dreams someday of being an NBA star. You know what's crazy about it, Shaq? Is now at this age, you've done it all.
You know what's crazy? All that comes from being on punishment.
Yeah, discipline.
Yeah, I was, like I said, medium level juvenile delinquent, and I was on punishment a lot. And I didn't have a TV, so I would have to create TVs in my mind. And then I would just say something so I wouldn't go crazy. When I did see a TV, I'm like, I'm going to do that one day. And then, like, I would used to go get the little bicycle chains and you know, steal bicycle chains, put them on the neck and be in the mirror, be like, I'm going to be a rapper. So, you know, my father was such a disciplinarian, I still don't do stuff to this day. True story. My chef made me a sandwich the other day, and he put 2 pieces of turkey on them. I wouldn't eat it. Because back in my house, you can't have 2 motherfucking pieces of turkey. 1 slice of turkey, 1 slice of cheese, and that was it. So he said, man, I was like, no. So it's like he did a wonderful and he did a great job. So basically he was teaching me not to make the same mistakes twice. So if I make a mistake doing something, it's deleted. It's deleted out of my brain. And then on the other hand, he would always show me horror stories. I don't know how it is for in your sport, but in our sport, 76% of athletes, when they're done, ain't got nothing. I didn't want to be like that. So now I got to drop it all the way to the bottom. I'm going to get my mama a house. And ain't nothing I do going to make my mama lose that. So that right there is like my main motivation. Forget the money and the jewelry and all that. My mama's house. Because growing up, she never had her own shit. And that was the best moment for me. Walking into their neighborhood, right, at their prices, talking to the realtor. And she said, how much is this? $800,000. Okay, we'll take it. And I'm like, no. I was like, mama. We good now. We'll take it. You want to finance it? Lady, you don't know who I am? Here you go. Oh, 30 day or 10 day? Motherfucking 10
but,
day.
But can I tell you something too, Shaq? As generous as you are, you play a little bit of that sergeant with your kids.
I do.
If they don't get 2 degrees, they get what? No cheese.
You know, they were very upset. But I took my son Sheree to this wealth conference, and You know, he was looking at how the wealthy people do it. I was like, this is how everybody do it. So now he kind of respects it. They all respect it. Because I tell him, I said, look, I done took it to where it can go. And I'm trying to teach him respectable nepotism. I said, I done took it as far as I can. But if you look at all these other companies that bring in their family, the kids are the one that take it to the next level. So all this that we've accumulated, you got to take the next level. Because I only got about 10 summers left to where I'm going to just go chill out and be on the yacht somewhere.
Yeah. And going off of that, an important thing that you just mentioned that I've talked about with some of my friends that I really, really respect is, you know, me and Eddie Alvarez, we talk about this, and it's, we're now in a position to understand this. And you understand that what your father and the disciplinarian, the things that he did, how that affects you and how that gives you a way of thinking to where you are quote unquote successful because of that. And we see over time, it's the saying that parents say all the time. I want to give my kids the things that I didn't have. I want to give them that. But one thing that they fail to realize is you do that, but then you put your kids in a perspective, in a place where they're different. And so you get mad because you're wondering, why don't they know, have this common sense that I have to not do this or do that or not mess up like this? But because you had that whole thing.
And you know, an answer that I've never wanted to respect this generation. All these motherfuckers are the same though. So I kind of had to readjust because they're all the same. Like, I get so mad sometimes, but like.
Like, what do you mean? Like in marketing and being able to talk to somebody?
The
like,
kid,
what do you mean in that
like
sense?
The kids. Our kids are different. I don't want to use the S word that ends with T, but they're different. So we as parents, we just have to adjust. So basically, my whole thing is, okay, forget all that. Go to school. Get an education. It starts there. Like, we all, I want my son to be a fighter. I want to be this. I want to be that. We just have to respect what they want to be and respect their process. Because guess what? My father's generation said the same thing about our generation.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stupid. You don't listen. You soft, all that. So I kind of had to. And then I realized, like, my kids are really freaking good. I don't have no problem. I have 7 children. I got friends that they're having problems with their kids. I don't have no problem. So I kind of had to turn it all the way down. My father would never turn it down. He would, but I had to, you know what I'm saying? But then everybody kept saying, it ain't your kids, bro. It's this generation. It's this generation. And
do you think you're softer with your kids? Like,
oh, I know I am.
Yeah. Like big time. Like, do you think?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Like did you ever, well, it's fucking none of my problem. None of my.
Ever spank him? No, yeah. Never. Never had to.
I honestly, Chuck, I have a 2-year-old now. Her name's America, by the way.
Oh, yeah, girls. Don't even raise your
voice. And I'm just like, man,
yeah,
she can't do it. I let her get away with murder, bro. Let her
go.
I'm like,
let her go. Because even now, I got 27, 22, 21, and a little baby. And if I go like this, gone.
Yeah.
Gone. So I don't even. And the boys, I try to turn it up and like, they're starting to buck back now, which I like.
Yeah. So how do you do it, Shaq?
I don't. I let the moms do all that. I'm the play toy. I'm the, what happened? Okay, this is why mommy, like, you know, the things that my mom used to do to me, hey, your dad punched you in the face because when you went and talked to the teacher, you was being arrogant. Didn't we teach you how to say, no, sir, yes, sir, this meant you acting arrogant, you got your pants halfway down, you're using slang, you got your hand in the man's face, and the man suspended you for 3 days, and your father told you. You get suspended for 3 days. You know, you're 6'7", you're 200 pounds now. That bell ain't going to work. You're going to have to touch you up. That's why you got to touch up. Come on out here. Give me some cake. Like, they would teach me why you got touched up. So now, if I don't want to get touched up again, next time I see the principal, how you doing, sir? Right? So, like, it's just that. So, my girls, I just, so, leave her alone. You be the play toy. Daddy, show her some wrestling moves. Let her go. Because she's 2. Like 2 years, like when she get 8, 9, 10, you can start to turn them a little bit.
Yeah, but you don't think even a 2-year-old, no, like you don't think they're manipulative at that time too?
No, they are. They are. But it's, super. They are.
And I have the same thing with my daughter. Is she's to the point now to where it's I've been such a weight to her to where I don't have to raise my voice because she knows when I'm unhappy based on her actions or whatever she does. She knows that. I don't have to raise my voice. I've never spanked her. I hit her hand one time when she was like maybe 18 months because she threw food I was trying to feed her in a high chair.
Yeah.
And instantly, it was an instant. I knew at that moment I would never do that again. It was.
Did you get it too, Kamaru? Like no, back in the day so, when you're, did your
oh,
parents?
Oh, me. Of course. Oh, yeah, I come Nigeria, from that school. Yeah. I've had everything. But I'm, you know, you think, oh, this is how I have to be. But you understand, no, it's different because times are different and the kids are different. So you have to be able to pivot.
They have
and
a house with their own room.
Like yeah.
They get private schools. And,
yeah, I was, me and my brothers, all three of us slept in one bed at one point. And so, yeah, but now going into that and your kids, now they're all in college.
Yeah, they're all in college.
In college. And I mean, how is that? How do you see that with them? Because I'm sure they all have aspirations to play at the next level. So, is there pressure there that you feel that they are feeling?
So I raised them early. And I wanted to understand that we don't need another basketball player. Yeah. If you do, fine, but we don't need another basketball player. I'll take an MMA fighter. I'll take a dentist. I'll take a businessman. I'll take a, you know, so I wanted to teach him that. My son, Sharif, was doing very well. And he had the heart thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of put him back at the beginning and, you know, went to the G League, didn't work out. So now he's with me at Reebok. So eventually, one day, I'm like, I want him to learn the business from the bottom. He's going back to school to finish. Want to teach him that because I told him, I said, you're blessed enough to make the same over here without doing all that as you can make over there. So if you still want to and do all that and have people message you, or you can go over here and take over this and bring this company to where it once was. So he's definitely stepped up to the challenge. I got another son, Miles. He's a DJ and a model. Making great money, but they're all great kids. Got a older daughter, graduated, got her own marketing firm. Got another younger daughter in college. My youngest daughter just committed to Florida. She's going to college. They play, they have a good time, but I do not bother them. Yeah. I don't micromanage them. I don't bother them. Because one of my favorite sayings is it could be worse. Yeah. And all the problems that we think we may have, if I look at it, it's not really a problem. You got six kids, they're all doing well, you don't get into no trouble. The biggest compliment I could ever get, man, I met your son, he's a fine gentleman. Yeah. That's more than any contract I've ever got like this. So I let him figure it out. And the reason why I do that, because when I was 18, my father said, okay, I'm dropping you off at Baton Rouge. If your ass come back here, I know you fucked up and you're going to the Army. There ain't nothing to talk about. He let me figure it out. Yeah. He let me figure it out. So I said, you know what? This process works. I'm going to let them figure it out. And it's all good. I haven't had a problem. And I'm just continuing to pray that I never have a problem.
Yeah. But I think too, Shaq, like looking at your career, man, like whether you're a dentist or whatever your kids are going to be, is that you understand that this world is competitive. And it's competitive. It could also be cutthroat. Like watching your whole story, the way, you know, when you were traded from Orlando to LA, when you went from LA to Miami, these people never even told you, hey, man, you're gone. Like, oh, you're not hearing it from the horse's mouth. You're hearing it from TMZ. You're hearing it from all these other people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
But you know what helped me with that? You mentioned it early. You know how we used to move every 4 years? Military.
Yeah. The experience is what's made you.
And then I have the same mentality as you guys. I'm a fighter. Oh, you don't want me, LA? No problem. You don't want me, Miami? No problem. And that just motivates me. See, when you're a kid that's been talked about all the time, and you can't throw blows, you got to keep it inside. So now that it's inside, I got to release it. Oh, I ain't shit? Okay. I want to punch you in your fucking face, but I can't. I ain't shit? Okay. Watch what happens this next game. Like, it's just, and I learned how to do that. Like, a lot of people, when they get it, and it just, but that was my way of releasing. I got to show you. Like, you know, the fact that you're saying you can be like Wilt, you can be like Kareem, that's an honor. But now I got to live up to that. And all this criticism and controversy, it just boiled inside and I had to release it. And now I'm here. Because my father would never allow me to be soft. So guess what? If you're trained on being soft, I can't be soft now. You read all these articles. Oh, you're not that dominant. You can't make free throws. You're never going to win a championship. It just ate me alive. And the only thing that that saved me is I had to learn how to turn it off. Like you said, my first child was a girl, and I couldn't bring it home. So I had to program myself as soon as I had to do, hi, baby. And it was actually good. I don't know how you guys prepare for a fight, but if I think about a game all night, I'm going to have a terrible game.
Yeah.
That's why I got to go watch a movie, chill out for 3 hours, and then, okay, go to bed, and then wake up, and now turn it the fuck back on. So the fact that I started having children, it actually saved my career. Because before that, if I lose a game, I come tear my house up. Bust fucking window, especially if it was my fault. If I got to read, it's my, like if you lose by 2 and I miss 10 free throws, I'm tearing my house up. No, seriously, I'm just fucking ripping cabinet and going crazy. And then my first.
You should shot put the basketball yeah, on.
Yeah, I know.
No, and honestly, overall, pound for pound, I believe that you are the most dominant big man that we've ever seen in the league, in the game. The way you played the game, and obviously it changed, you know, because early on you could come coast to coast with the ball, and the game started to change a bit because now it's special. You know, you specialize. You let the point guard do all that. You let him bring the ball up. And you get down there and you post guys up. Obviously, Chain, it's going to be, I'm sure you could still probably do that nowadays.
I would,
a lot different.
No, it's softer, which would benefit me.
You think so benefit you? I think you might foul out in two periods.
How would I foul out? Everybody's shooting jumpers.
You backing dudes down.
Yeah, but remember.
The way they flop now.
Yeah, but remember, I was the first big dude to take it and bring it off the glass. All that stuff Giannis and them doing, that was me. So I actually wouldn't get double as much because I'd get it, boom, and do the same thing they're doing. And then if you're going to shoot a three, I'm going to run right by you and stand right in the middle of the lane. So the fact that everybody's playing the same, I wouldn't play the same. And see, the reason why you guys are champions because y'all don't fight like everybody else. Like you're very smooth with your shit, and you like a pit bull, but then you ease up, and then you come back. And that's what makes us different. So I know I could average 30-40 in this league today because, one, they don't like to fight. They don't like to bang. And remember, my first move was I was trying to get offensive foul my first play of the game. I wanted to knock your teeth out your mouth to let you know it's going to be a long night. Yeah. And that was like the first move. I always do like that. And then if you're going like that, I got you. So once I know I got you like that.
So you would purpose, because we can tell, we're fighting. Yes. You would purposely.
The statute of limitations is up. Yes. I was trying to knock all that out.
I would hate to go. Yes. A big body like that.
And then also, as it relates to fighting, is obviously you've been a fan for a while. But who are you watching now in the fight game? Who are you watching now? Because that we also see that the sport is changing very, very fast.
Yes. I mentioned I'm watching you, of course. I'm watching. I can never say that. Adesanya, man.
Israel.
Israel Alexander. Old boy from Phoenix. Is he from Phoenix or Scotland?
Sean
O'Malley.
Yes. Is he from Scotland?
He's O'Malley.
No, but is he American
he's
or?
Phoenix.
He's Phoenix.
He's American. American. Yeah, oh, I thought he was from. He's a bad
he's
boy
Irish
too.
Irish American.
Okay, yeah. He's a bad boy too.
Yeah.
Francis had a tough fight. My boy.
Like, Johnny Jones.
Of course, John Bones Jones.
Yeah.
It's only three times people have touched me. I don't want to use the word scare, but when you turn around and see their face, you turn it off.
John was one of them?
Yeah. So we walking through the Super Bowl and the Giants, and motherfucker hit me in my back hard as hell. And I turned around like, motherfucker, oh, what's up, John? How you doing, my boy? Like you can, right? And Tyson did the same thing one time. I'm in a club in LA, and the motherfucker hit me right in the top of my neck with the fist. Boom, I was like, motherfucker. Oh, what up, Mike? How you doing? Like, so, but yeah, I'm watching all the top fighters. You guys are probably the greatest athletes ever. Because you have to, like us, run, jump, football, run, tackle, tennis, do, do, do. And it's no knock to everybody else, but you guys, the way you train, the way you get hit, knocked out, knocking people out, you guys are the greatest athletes.
But I also feel, Shaq, that when you're a winner, you're a winner. And, you know, you were saying in your documentary, it took Jordan 7 years to become champ. It ended up taking you 11 years.
No, eight.
Oh, 8 years to become champ.
No, was it nine? Four. Yeah, 11. Yeah. You're right. My bad. I apologize.
You're welcome.
Yeah, 11. Damn.
I'm telling you, man. I rewatched your documentary. You talk about, you know, there's somewhat of a love-hate relationship with you and Kobe. You know,
like, I wouldn't say love-hate.
Or maybe it wasn't necessarily a love hate, but there wasn't like a, how can I say it? You guys were still able to win, even though you guys were kind of feeling there was a little bit of, I don't know if, you know, he called it jealousy during the thing or whatever that was. I don't know. Maybe you can explain a little bit better.
So there's a misconception.
Before you set the record straight, I'll tell you my take, what I thought about it. Because based on how you described your play, your style of play, since high school, maybe even middle school, you've been top dog. It's all on you. It's all on your shoulders. And so everybody needed to do what you wanted them to do. And then you go to Orlando, and part of that whole situation is, oh, they don't want me. Because you wanted the pick of, okay, I wanted to play with this guy. This is how I'm going to win. I want to win. And then you get to L.A., and Kobe feels the same. And you got two alphas and you got two bulls in there who are trying to, this is mine. No, I want to play like this. I want to play like this. And I felt like that's where that rift might have came from.
But think about it. You use the word rift as if we were not successful. So I'm going to throw one word out there.
True.
Respect.
True. Yes.
Respect. Leave respect. That over there.
Yeah, yeah, no, all
right.
Of course.
Hold on, let me respect, right? Leave it out there. There's this misconception that you got to be buddy-buddy. I don't have to like my good-looking friend right there, but I know he know how to work the camera. Never going to disrespect him. I might say, hey, man, I like this angle, and he might, no, I know it ain't like, but that right? So there's this misconception you have to be buddy-buddy. That's first of all. Secondly, I want to say, I'm the motherfucking big dog. There ain't no other, right? That's how I'm thinking. That's my mentality. See, he came in, his first 3 years, he had the boot, but now when he starts to become a big dog, he's thinking the same way. And the reason why Phil never got anywhere between us, because you need that, right? My thing was, just play the right way. Because even though I'm getting, there's room for you to get that too. There's room for you to get that too. Like, you hear about the Black Zillas, the fight team, yeah, right? There's room for everybody to be a star. At first in Orlando, I didn't know that. I started to know that. But this is still my shit. And you think it's your shit, which is cool. Never going to disrespect you. We're not going to always agree. Nah, throw it to me. No, I'm going to shoot. Nah, throw it to me. No, I'm going to shoot. So when people talk about the riff, I think it would be a better story if we didn't win. We won 3 out of 4. If I had it all over to do again, I wouldn't change not one thing, ever. Because and then Phil never messed with us because I heard Brian Schroeder say this the other day, and I never heard him say it. He said, if you got a pit bull and he's going crazy, let him go crazy for the first 2 years. You don't want to discipline because you want to let him know, like, hey, you are that pit bull that I need you to be. You have it in you. And then, you know, when the time comes, then you start to tone him down. I need Kobe to be aggressive. I need Kobe to be the man. I need Kobe to want to be the man. I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
I'm giving you 30, 40 in the playoffs. You got another guy that want to give you 30? All right, cool. That's 60, 70 points. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, only thing I wish we would have did is talk about it more. Because you know how they're like, I don't know if you train with a guy and he say he's not going to be aggressive and he try to break your arm before you got a fight and y'all have a little argument or something, right? I think I should have did a better job of, because you have brothers?
Yeah.
You got brothers?
Yeah.
You got cousins?
Yeah.
Y'all fight, right?
Yeah.
But then you talk about it and you're back eating family dinner, right?
Yeah.
I should have did a better job of doing that. But my ego was like, man, fuck all that. And then after I got traded, it was really when I go back and look at it, I was like, because, man, it can only be one chief, brother. And I came in the chief, right? I understand you want to be the chief, but it's like every Godfather movie. You're not going to be the Godfather unless you take me out. And the way I got taken out is I was traded.
But can I tell you something too, Shaq? Is your philosophy from the time that you were with Kobe to by the time you got traded to Miami completely changed? Because this time you said to Dwayne Wade, this is your team.
Because I was
and
tired.
You're still able to win, dude, in 2 years.
Because I was tired. And then on that, D-Wade was the player. He was not that Kobe wasn't playing. Like Kobe was, I'm doing it by myself. D-Wade was, if you open, you're going to get it. If you open, you're going to get it. So I saw that in him. So, and I was tired, bro. I'm like, I'm not fighting. I'm like, little fight with Penny, big fight with this cat. Fuck, maybe it is me. Maybe I am an asshole. Met the kid. He was a nice kid. I was like, you know what? Because, again, I'm going to get mine.
Yeah.
So but I said, you know what?
You see what I'm talking about? The shift. Like, you shifted, Shaq. Yeah. And that says a lot about you.
But I was older. If I was 25 going to Miami, it ain't no shift.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when I got to L.A., all that shit that was done, we're not doing that. Wise flying on the plane? Nope. Curfew? Nope. Yeah. We wearing these uniforms today? No. We practicing at 10? No, the fuck we're not. 12. I'm going out every night. We practice. Like, it was, it's my way or the highway. So, but you're right. I did have a look because I was just tired. And D-Wade was a nice little guy. And, you know, Pat was already in control of things. So I was like, bro, it's your team. I'm just here to win.
And you talk about Phil just kind of letting you guys, and just talk about the genius of that, because he came from a situation similar in Chicago where everyone, him. I mean, they were ultra successful, but as we're learning now, Scotty and Jordan weren't exactly
thank you and,
tight like that.
And my favorite shows are now, or like when they talk about the shows that we watched as a kid, and you find out that Marsha really hated Jan on the Brady Bunch. Like, like the guy who was my professor at Barry University, he did his thesis on the Beatles, on how the two alpha males really, really didn't get along.
Oh, then that Asian chick came in. Yeah, and she
and so it happens. But again, the respect is there. So you know the Beatles respect each other. Well, once you got on that stage, you see it. You see that they had respect, right? So, I'm always respect Kobe. And then I always tell people, okay, you think he don't like me? You think I don't like him? Our first championship, we win. It's 1,000 motherfuckers on the court. And you see the C split. Just watch Kobe right now. Matter of fact, I want your editor to show this and slow it down as I'm talking. Whose arms does he jump in? I'll wait. Bingo. But he hated me, right? Nah, he probably hated my ways, and I probably hated his ways, but we respected each other. He respected me enough that after you crossed Scotty up, you could have shot the floater. You see me going like this. Let me get one, big dog. Throw it up, boom, boom, boom. So the respect was there. We won 3 out of 4. I wouldn't change anything. I would aggravate him because he's that little pit bull that if you aggravate him, he's going to go crazy. I knew exactly what I was doing. I would probably would have communicated a little more after championships because I tell people now that the only thing that darkens my days is we all do so much. We always think tomorrow's promise. I tell this story, and I think about it all the time, and it hurts me when I even say it. And when I think about it, my baby sister was sick, and I went to see her, and I had a fucking meeting. And my family gonna always let me do the business thing because they know I take care of everything. And I'm looking at her. I was like, baby, I got a meeting. You want me to cancel? No, I love you. I see her. She's good. I go to the L.A. I could have called. But I go to LA, I do the meeting, I'm on a red eye. Like, I'm coming right back. Like, I leave there at 5, I'm gonna get there at 4, do the meeting at 7, take the 11 o'clock flight, be back at 6, be in the hospital. She passed away. I didn't even fucking call. Same thing with my dad. I should have called him every day. I'm working at TNT one night, and it was late. Oh, I'll call him tomorrow. Passed away. And then I'm downstairs training my son, and my other son comes down fucking crying. Gone, crazy. So now I'm trying to stop time. I'm gonna be like, is it your mother? Like, did you do something and you scared him, beat you up? And he's like, man, Kobe just passed away. I was like, man, shut the fuck up. Stop playing. And then I just said, we gone. And then I turned the TV and it was there. And I was like, so when you're the leader, everything becomes your fault. And I accept that. It's my fault. I should have called my sister. I should have called my father. I should have reached out to him. He's retired. I'm retired. Said everybody fucking believe me. Y'all hate each other. Hey, man, what you doing? Hey, man, I'm going to be in L.A. You want to meet? Nope. All right, cool. I'll see you next time. Like, it's just, and then if you look at the last game, when I told him to get 60, the respect is there. And that's all I want. That's all we want. Like, again, that's this misconception. Like, I know you. We don't talk every day. I ain't going to disrespect you, but you my guy. You my guy. And that's the only thing that matters in life is respect. You're not going to get along all the time. This is misconception. Oh, you got to be nice. No, you got the respect. The more that you respect, the further your team will go. And that's what outsiders don't understand about this thing that we do.
Yeah, and I think with a lot of it too, Shaq, I get a little sentimental, dude, because I lost my sister in September.
Sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah, so through cancer too, just like, you know, your father and your sister as well. Luckily, my sister was my biggest supporter too, man. She would go to, she went when I won the Olympics, she was there. When I beat Demetrius Johnson for the world title, she was there. She was, if whether I fought in Canada or some rinkety dink gym, she was always there. And I think I like to study success a lot. And I studied you, I studied Kobe, I've studied, you know, even a Stone Cold Steve Austin. And a lot of things that successful people do have, and sometimes we tend not to recognize, is our time, dude. We are so limited with time, and that time you cannot get back. Yeah, you may have $1 billion, whatever that may be, but time we cannot go back to.
And ever since, you know who Deion Cole is?
Yeah.
But one day, because I like to watch movies at night, so I'm watching his special, and he's like, where the 40-year-old is at? Where the 50-year-old is at? And he says, 20 summers left. And ever since he said that, it fucked me up.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
He said, 20 summers left. He said, what a 40-year-old is at? What a 50-year-old is at? Okay, y'all 50 like me, 20 summers left. And I'm laughing at the joke, but then I'm like, fuck, in 20 summers, I'm going to be fucking 70, bro. For real.
Yeah.
So ever since that, my shit been, like, I'm just, you know, I'm not scared, but I never wanted to get old.
Yeah.
I remember when I was 18, people like, how old are you? I'm 18. For real? Now I'm fucking 52, bro. 18 summers left, and I'm going to be 70, bro. Like that, so I'm trying to, yeah. Like, I'm just trying to give it, like, he said it as a joke, but ever since he said that, like, my whole mentality, my whole focus, I got to start eating right, yeah. You know, I'm trying to work out, I'm trying to get my six-pack back, it just kind of, like, messed me up.
But you know what keeps you alive, too? And Kamara knows this, too, it's your humor. It's being free of life. I mean, Shaq, you've gone through losses in your life, whether it's been family members or losing at the NBA championships or whatever that may be, being traded, things like that. I think part of it, because I feel like I can relate to you in that sense, is
we all can
the
relate.
Fact that your mom, your father, your brother, sisters, when, you know, one guy is fighting, we all jump in, you know, type of thing. But it's been the humor that's able to kind of keep us afloat and pretty much light-spirited to continue to keep living.
A kid asked me the other day, why are you a nice guy? Answer is simple. And we all have had this. I wasn't always the Shaq. Like, I don't know how it was for you when you first, like, when I first saw you, you was already the man. But I don't know your early journey. I don't even know your early journey. But I was a regular guy. And I seen a superstar doggy kid out so bad one day. It's like when I first got to L.A. I was Shaq, but I wasn't Shaq in L.A. anyway. And I seen, I'm not going to say the superstar name, but he just dogged this kid. I was like, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that. So that's why, especially the children, especially the people. Like, I'm 50 years old. I don't want no problems. Man. I'm past all that. You step on my shoe, all right, dog, we good. It ain't no motherfucker. Nah. Because this generation, they not fighting. They either doing what y'all doing or they prepare. I don't want no problem. I'm trying to see the 20-something. So I'm like, but I seen this superstar dog, this kid out so bad. I was like, I would never be like that. And then, you know, coming from the hood, you know, too. Don't forget where you come from. Because all the people that you pass on the way up, when and if it's your turn to go back down, you will have bad luck. My father, like, he was like a Mr. Miyagi sort of a godfather. He used to say little stuff that really didn't make no sense. You disrespect your power, you lose your power. Might have no idea what that meant, but now I know what it meant. Yeah, I'm the Shaq, but I'm not going to disrespect people. I'm not going to treat you like you're smaller. I'm not going to treat anybody like you treat people with respect. Because listen, we're all the same, right? Some people have more whatever moment, but we're all the same. You put your shoes on the same way I put my shoes on. And I think a lot of superstars don't do that. That's why I denounce myself from being a superstar, a celebrity. Those motherfuckers are assholes. They are. A lot of them are. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a regular guy. You know me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know me, but did you think I was going to? No, but did you think I was going to come over here with 40 people? Be honest. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
No, I didn't think so. I think there's a modesty to you. And I think your father, I think your mother's done, they've done a great job.
No, but it ain't necessary.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm motherfucking, call it out. Just say 1-2. I just want to show you this form. Go ahead. Just say 1-2. Come on, man.
No, we see you fight Oscar. But Shaq, just before I let you go, it's one thing that I want to end on, because it's just you're just such a You're in a different place. And I see that. I understand and I recognize that. You know, pound for pound, I do believe you are probably the most dominant big man to play the game. Pound for pound, one of the smartest athletes to go into the business world. And just pound for pound, I think you're one of the most recognizable face in the world because everyone can relate to you because you're, whether you're a kid, my daughter knew who you were. She never seen you play. My daughter never seen you play a game. She knows you're Shaq. She knows about you. She knows about Mike Tyson. She knows who Michael Jackson is. My daughter never seen them. So that goes to attest to how great you are, not just as an athlete. But with all that being said, my only question, my final question for you is, what is your pursuit of happiness right now? What keeps you going?
Well, you know, but we all know we're fathers. It's our job to protect, provide, and love my family. And I always tell people, this is the way I handle stress, so I don't have any stress. Worry about what my mom says. Like, she'll call me every now and then. Don't do that. Yes, ma'am. Won't ever happen again. Worry about my kids. I worry about my boys. I worry about my organization. That's all I worry about. Therefore, I don't have no stress. I don't give a fuck about no comments. I don't care about no negative publicity. Right? That keeps me sane. So, to answer your question, my pursuit of happiness, if they're straight, I'm straight. Right? Y'all are my boys. You straight? You straight? I'm straight. And that's it. I don't complain. And when I start saying to myself, I'll take it all the way down to zero, and then I say it could be worse. We could be doing this podcast through Zoom right now, but you guys flew down for me. Appreciate that. Could be worse. Like, I had shit to do today, but they said I'm doing podcasts. Cool. But so, you know, whenever you get down, just turn it off a second and say it could be worse. Start to pick yourself back up. And you gave me a compliment I can't accept. It's not that I'm the smartest ever, whatever. I've just mastered ways to simplify it to where it fits for me.
That's part of being the smartest, is understanding that.
Yeah, so I got something for you, Shaq, because I can't leave this interview without telling you this. It's like, I thought it was super cool when you and Kobe, you know, you guys co-shared the MVP of the All-Star game.
That was him. But again, the outside people think we hate each other. Because I wasn't going to ask him. I was like, I'll wait. That was him.
Yeah, but what did he do? He says, you know what, Shaq? You could have it. And then you ended up giving it to your son, Sharif.
No. My babies love Kobe. And they should. Greatest play ever. He's seen, and he's been, bro. Matter of fact, we have a child on the same day. I think his daughter, one of my sons, born on the same day.
No way.
Yeah, like Phil wouldn't let us miss the game, so I think Vanessa had hers first before Charlie did. But yeah, they have the same birthday. And they know each other, they're friends. But when we got to, like, I was on Phoenix. I was on my way down, but I saw in the game wasn't nobody doing shit, and Kobe just kept feeding me. I'm like, man, this shit felt like flashback. So we making each other look good. So I was like, I know they're gonna give it to him. But when they called both of our names, I was gonna say, all right, you take, because it's your league now. Hey, I'm still a Shaq, but yeah. I'm older. I'm one of those godfathers that been shot at 30 or 40 times. I'm not dead, but they still give me respect. But let's just ship him off to Phoenix, right? So I wasn't going to say nothing. And he looked at my boy, and he's like, hey, man, you take it. I was like, for real? That's when I knew all the silly shit I was doing, delete it. Because I was, every now and then, I still, you know, good marketing purposes. Not, remember again, you respect them, but, you know, sometimes you got to show respect by showing none. I don't care about that. Like, just for marketing purpose. After he did that, I was like, I had to go home and be like, delete. Being an asshole towards Kobe forever. Bring it back. No, you can't bring it back. So after he did that, I was just, and then it was just good. I talked to his parents all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Really? Yeah, I talked to his mom and dad all the time. And it was just like,
yeah, because his funeral, yeah. Shaq, when you did your speech and Jordan did his speech, and you guys talked about Kobe.
Yeah,
man, that thing had me bawling, dude. You know,
it had me bawling too, brother.
Well, Uncle Shaq, it's been a pleasure.
When's the next fight?
You know, we're taking a little break right now, letting the body heal.
Good. What about you?
My next fight, who knows? Maybe with you on the plane, dude.
Let me tell you something. I'm smart. Can I call my best friend so I can say hi to you guys?
Yeah, of course.
Because he's the one that introduced me to you guys.
Yes, of course. But
who's that? Don't tell me to call Phil Jackson. Right
no, now. The guy who entered, the guy who I started training with, helped me win these championships.
How is Phil?
I didn't talk to him, bro.
Really?
I'm the type, bro. I do my job, then I go. I don't even with all
you,
that.
Do you have a close relationship with him?
Respectable, wasn't close. Man. Like I don't do the kissy kissy. What you want me to do? You want me to get 20 out of 10? Okay, cool. I know what to do. Yeah. I got a present for you, my boy.
What's up?
What's up, my man? Oh, shit. How are you?
Pleasure, sir. How are you?
Oh, hold on, hold on. Great. Hello, that was Christmas. Here's New Year's.
Damn,
Mr. Stone. Yeah, brother. Are you Brazilian? Brasileiro?
No, I'm straight gringo, bro.
Oh, okay. All right, pleasure, yeah, man. How's Shaq doing?
Hey, he's good to do.
Tell him my record. Tell him my record.
Oh no!
Let's make that fight with him and Brock Lesnar. What's up?
Huh?
What you doing?
Oh yeah, no, podcast. And they asked me about how'd I get the championship. I was like, I met this motherfucker named John Burke. He introduced me to the. So yeah, I just wanted to say hi. All right, brother, I love you. All right, I'll see you soon. All right, peace. All right,
pleasure to meet
you. All right, thank you. Bye bye.
All right, Unc. Appreciate it's a pleasure. We love you. Like I said, you're one of the most recognizable faces on the planet for a reason, because you are just that. Every time you're around people, you have that energy that's infectious, and everybody feeds off of it. Everybody talks about it. And so we want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time out to actually sit with us and talk to us. We cherish this. And, you know,
thank you, brother. It's a pleasure knowing you guys, and I love your work, and I'm always support you guys, win or lose. You know, you lost a lot of time. I didn't want to bother you, but I just told you good fight. Because, you know, people criticize what y'all can't do. And another reason why I don't listen to criticizing, if you can't, like, and I call it G14 classification. You motherfucker, you can't fight. Don't say nothing about these two, ever. I don't want to hear the shit. You first, it's like I ain't never been in no thing. I've been in boxing. I fucking wish we could find this tape. I can't find it. I was doing a show called Shaq Versus, and I was boxing Oliver McCall. Yeah. Yeah. That motherfucker hit me so hard, man. I know I can't do what you. I would never criticize you. I know I can't do what you do. That motherfucker hit me so, and like it was supposed to be body, but I don't know if he caught a flat. But that motherfucker hit me so hard one time. So then if he hit me, I didn't want to be like a punk. I tried to hit him, and Freddie Roach was like, no, I can't find that footage nowhere. I don't know what happened to it, but that motherfucker hit me so hard. And y'all go through all that shit. So don't be listening to these people critique y'all, because they can't do it. So my thing is, if a nobody can influence a somebody, then the nobody wins. But the question of the day is, who the fuck are you? Nobody. Dr. O'Neill. And I'm going to end it with that.
Damn, that's Dr. O'Neill, that's your mom.
Yep, yeah. Dr. O'Neill. Yeah, so I want to wish you guys continued success. Win or lose, I'm going to be behind you guys. I enjoy watching you guys, and I appreciate you guys coming out, wasting money. You know, I got a fucking big studio in my house. I could let y'all shoot this shit for free.
Thank you. And on that, I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Triple C, a.k.a. Henry Cejudo.
And we are out.